Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Prepare the way, prepare the way. We are preparing the way by preparing ourselves. So we thank God for you and your timeliness to your schedule and to your commitment to your preparation. We are entering into the month of May. Time is swiftly going forward. And so we do want to share some of the announcement that might be helpful for you to, as a reminder of that which is going forth, and to prepare you for the next phase. We do want to encourage you to your emails. Check your emails. Stay current with them so that what's coming up, you are able to be prepared for it. And so in our announcements for this week, in the absence of our Elder Sharita, we just want to remind you to bring your pens and pencils, your notebooks and things to the session so that you can make note of different pieces that are shared with you, and also so that you may have your questions already written down and you're able to communicate them to us so that we may answer them on the air. Because if you have a question, I am sure other people have that same question. We do encourage you to keep your phones on mute until you are ready to communicate. The service definitely picks up all background noises. Just the very least one that you wouldn't think, it picks it up. Someone washing dishes in another room, it's it up. So we do ask you to put your phones on mute until you're ready to dialogue, and then take it off of mute. There is a like 5 to 6 second delay. So when you take your phones off mute, you're not going to be instantly heard. So I don't want you to be frustrated thinking that you were talking and someone was talking over you, you know, or because we don't hear it. It's not synced perfectly. So when you do put your phone on speaker and you want to speak, I do encourage you, because we are keeping a record of your participation, so state your name and then the response that you have for the asking a question or answering a question. Either way, we want to be able to recognize the fact that you are, we had a lot of homework the prophet gave us, so I pray that you are prepared to answer those questions, possibly take even a little test. I don't know, but you just want to be so ready. The teaching that he gave was very profoundly prepared for you and was emailed to you. So if you just study the notes from that teaching last week, it is the foundation of the teaching that the prophet is sharing with us. We have a lot of administrative work that we want to take care of today, and so we want to be ready to do that. I do want to ask that if you have not received an email from the AEN on taking a survey, that you would please text me your number and say you have not received it, because we are making a survey as it relates to the ordination. And so we definitely want your input, and we want to be able to acknowledge some of your concerns and plan for them. It is not making any final decision of yay or nay, but just preparing us to make the best decisions possible. And so I do see that today we have to bring us into our service of the opening prayer by Pastor Winslow Carter. And then we have the presentation of our accountability process elements going to be presented today by Sister Trevor Calhoun, and her accountability partner is Pastor Thressa McMillan. And they are presenting on the characteristic of companionship out of Genesis and Ecclesiastes. And so we want you to keep in mind that these information and things that you are being given and that you're preparing and you're turning in, you're building your portfolio. So you want to make sure that you keep a copy and you enter them in a notebook or some kind of a form, even if you just do it online and put it in your own file, so that you build your portfolio. And we'll talk about portfolios later on in our session. And then, excuse me. And then we want to remind you that phase one is over, phase two is over, and I believe we are starting phase three. I'm looking for that part. So if you have thank you. Thank you, verification. So if you have any questions about phase one or phase two, and only if you, everybody turned in all the information very timely, very succinctly, and but we got some deadlines for those that have not. I just ask that you call me and let me know the status of where you are. It's not, the end of the world or anything, but it is something that we do want to be prepared for. Okay, so the new phase we're going into, we'll probably go over some of the details of that today, but we do want to start our session, in the meat of our session, with our prayer. Amen? So, Pastor Winslow, sometimes when you call in later, it doesn't show right away. And I have to put you on speaker. Amen. Everybody is on speaker. Pastor Winslow on the line. The Bivens on the line.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, Pastor Bivens, can you stand in for Pastor?
So, I sure can.
Thank you.
Father, you're welcome. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for another anointed session as we continue to explore and as we continue to be led by your Spirit. Your word says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and we are your sons, and we are thankful for another day that you have made that we can continue to rejoice and be glad. And we thank you for everything that will be shared, from the presentation to the encouragement. And, Father, we are just giving you glory and honor as we go forward. It is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So is our ambassadorial prophet on the line? Okay. Sounds like somebody needs to go on mute. again, you hear the rattling of the papers. If you are not being prepared to communicate, please put your phone on mute, okay? So we're waiting on the prophet to come on board. And like I said, we have a lot of administrative things to do. So we'll start with the apostle. Apostle Shawnette. She is going to share some more information as relates to this survey that we need you to fill out, this reasoning, and the environment behind it, being the COVID virus. And so as a result, there are administrative considerations that we have to do. And so we don't want you to fret or wonder, well, what's going to happen? Are we or are we not? And so we're putting some things in place, and so she's going to kind of share with you what it might look like. We thank God because this is a pioneer class. So you're going to do what no other class has done. You are truly trailblazers that see a situation and correct it or improve it by your innovative creativity and your faith and your faith in God. So, Apostle?
Thank you, Overseer, and to the class of 2020. It is a pleasure to be able to share with you and to serve you in this apostolic and prophetic endeavor. And so one of the things that each of you should be receiving is a survey. This, we want to encourage you to fill out the survey. Again, one of the things that Overseer stated was that if you have not received the survey, please text us and let us know. Terrible feedback. Okay, please text us. Please text Overseer at 630-701-4303 and let her know so that we can include you in that you would take your time in the survey. It's anonymous. It is confidential. Only Apostle Hooks, who will be doing the statistics from it, will have the opportunity to even know who fills it out. So we just ask for your honest feedback. It is my endeavor to be able to serve you, and then not just serve you, but be good stewards and be sensitive to your health and well-being. And so as we are in this global pandemic, we want to be sensitive. We want to be sensitive and in compliance. And so what we're doing is the survey is going to address a few things, but primarily for those of you who are local or out of town, how would you feel traveling in the midst of this pandemic, whether it's, you know, via vehicles or flying, staying in hotels and things of that nature. We need to know how you feel about that. As it, would you be willing to take a test, a coronavirus test, and possibly serve some time in, do some self-quarantine, just so that as we come together, we can't guarantee the physical safety of everyone as it relates to this, but we could do all we can to safeguard against things. And so we do ask, the survey will ask you some questions like that. We're going to spend some time looking at garments. I know that people have some concerns about purchasing their garments and them not fitting or just fitting inappropriately. And so I'm looking at some other alternatives, possibly doing part of the conference virtually and addressing while the candidates being yourselves the upper and lower college, would probably be on location, how individuals would feel if during this ceremony there were, you could not have your loved ones be physically present inside the building, whether we would do some Y parties or use some other social media platforms to broadcast the service, being able to put it on CBN, which is Havaa Broadcasting Network, so that you would be able to see it. So we're looking at some things like that. And so your input is essential. It is critical. And the best way to get your input is you all taking the opportunity to fill out the survey. We want to keep you up to date as best as we possibly can with the most current information, keeping in mind that we just want to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and to the needs that the individuals will have. The ordination is a lot of laying on of hands and just the very tangible presence of the Holy Spirit and what that looks like as He is allowed to freely express Himself through you all, and we just want to make sure that we're providing the safest and most effective environment for all ministry activities to take place. And so thank you for this opportunity to share with you. If you have any questions, you can, I think we may have 2 or 3 minutes to address them. And so if you have any questions or concerns, you definitely at this point have the opportunity to share or state them. And if we can address it, we will. If not, you can assure yourself that an answer will be forthcoming. Does anybody have any questions, concerns, suggestions, input? Quiet group, okay.
Now, this is Lady Sharon. I know that Zoom and some other sites can do up to 1,000 people, so that may be something to look into as well.
Wonderful. You said Zoom and what else, Lady Sharon?
I have another site. I can text it to you that you can get up to 1,000 people.
Okay, that's phenomenal.
And they can all be from the comfort of their homes and, you know, and just the few who are at the location or, you know, pray over those who maybe, you know, already dressed or have their garments have been blessed and, you know, given back to them or something to that effect.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for that input.
You're welcome.
Anybody else?
Hi, Apostle. This is Sister Shannon. I also, what just came to mind was maybe trying to incorporate maybe the testing for the temperature testing. Maybe
oh,
if we can incorporate
definitely.
That. Yeah, also if different ones are not able to afford or get free testing for the COVID, maybe if we could incorporate that, that could probably bless us also.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Wow, okay. Anybody else? Govern yourselves accordingly with the survey. All input is appreciated. So,
okay, that was our Archbishop coming online. So if you could, I don't know, kind of adjust your phone or pick up another phone when I made you live. That's when the static came. So it was good that I was able to identify it. So anybody else, you weren't on speaker in the past, but you are all on speaker now. Last, like, four or five people that came in. And so did you have any questions or concerns after Apostle shared with you? Definitely, I don't want people to be discouraged. You need to do your work, and you will be celebrated in August. It's what it's going to look like that is going to be the trailblazing creative challenge for us at Labor of Christ AEN. And so it's going to happen. One of the things we are looking into as relates to, as she mentioned, your garments. And I know that there are different ways that different things can happen. And I'm sure you're concerned you spend all of that money and da-da-da-da-da, you won't use it. But I would just encourage you, first of all, you're going to need them. And whatever doesn't happen in a celebratory way in the past this year will definitely take place in the following year. I just don't want people to back up on their work or, well, why should I, da-da-da. You get excited because this is going to be a very innovative consecration ordination, and you're going to be a part. And so we do want to thank Elder Sharon for her input and Sister Shannon. And these are things we're going to get experts looking at. The whole conference is going to be a virtual conference. Except for you guys, you will come together, the Canada's upper and lower will come together in Labors for Christ Word Life Center in person, practicing social distancing, and we will have our three-day presentation track. And so there's still going to be a gathering, and even in that gathering, there may be celebratory things that will happen. I just want you guys to just get excited about it. And so it may be that at that gathering, you have to bring your uniform, your garments, and while you're doing your training, someone else will come in. I don't know those that have seen the inside of Labors for Christ, but it's massive. And so they can be in a whole other section of the building. Bless your garments. But we're going to get more detail about that. We just want you to still continue to process or progress forward with anticipation and expectation. And so we want to really, like I say, if you have any concerns or questions or just a thought, you know, you're on. Can't seem to be able to get Archbishop live without the static from the East Coast. All right. So any other questions, concerns, thoughts, desires? Yes. State your name.
This is LaDonna Hardy speaking. I understand that there is probably an updated version of the vestments PDF. I don't believe I have a copy of the latest version of that, so I would like to request that.
Okay, I will get to you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Anybody else? Okay, well, I see that the ambassadorial prophet is on the line. Y'all keep coming in. Let's see if this works for Metropolitan. Okay, Metropolitan.
Yeah, I was hearing you fine. My fault. I'm sorry for the sack. I don't know what it is.
Okay, not a problem. Not a problem. So I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to share as it related to the innovative way we will have our meeting in any encouragement for
No, not at this time. I mean, definitely I'll be better equipped to encourage after next Tuesday's meeting. So.
All right. So, again, he does want to remind us, fill out the surveys. If you don't have them, send me, just text me your name and let us know you did not receive the email on the survey. That goes for accountability partners, candidates, and committee members. Okay? Amen. All right.
Amen.
Now we will turn the meeting into the hands of our prophet. That's ambassadorial prophet.
Prophet.
He was.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was not near the phone on muted. Good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Pray that all is well. As it has been stated, we pray that you continue the momentum of excitement. You are holding true to the prophetic word that's over your life. I believe Overseer said it so very well. You are definitely a legendary class. You are the genesis, the first that has ever had to do it this way. And so we are excited that you are seeing the power of the prophetic word that is spoken over your life, and know for sure that you're not shorted in any way, because of the word of the Lord that's over you said that the Lord of the Lord over you said that he will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten up, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm in my great army, which I sent among you. So I'm excited that you are, you've got a preview of even what's to come. And so even if you do not have this big celebratory traditional, I'll just say it, that we've had, the Lord promised you that he will restore whatever you lost. And so that is so exciting. And the word said that you will eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he has dealt wondrously with you. So I'm just going to let that soak in for a moment. I'm just going to let that rest in the palm of your spirit, amen, to see that right now you are living in the midst of the prophetic declaration that is spoken over you. You are walking this prophetic word out, and he promised that he will give to you the former rain. So whatever happened, whatever rain fell on the AEN conference and ordination, he promised to you that when that rain comes again, you will get the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And so I'm excited. I thank God that he released this word over you even before all of the situation has come. And so now you can sit here and see it and know it and have confidence. You know, when we think about that Jeremiah 29:11, I know most of us know the baseline of that scripture. It was given to a chosen, it was given to a group that was in exile, that was in a 70-year of bondage, and the Lord had declared unto them, you're going to do this for 70, but understand this, I know my plans towards you, says the Lord, plans to give you peace, to give you a future and a hope, and to bring you to an expected end. And so I am, I'm glad about your expected end. I'm excited about what God is doing and what God is going to do in the life of this 2020 class. Remember the word that said, keep in remembrance, the word said you are the genesis of a new decade, and your gifts and callings and ministry is the trailblazer for a new spiritual era. And so I'm just going to thrust you a little bit I didn't hear too many of you commenting, and but you are the innovator. You are the creator. So I'm going to give you a prophetic responsibility to go into your closet, your secret place, wherever that is, and ask for the heart of God concerning how this should be created and what is the innovative thing that he is doing, and bring it back to us. Let us hear what God is saying to you and through you. That was what the first part of this platform was for. And so I have a prophetic expectation that there's a trailblazer that's among this group that will give us a download, will share what it is that God is saying and decreed over your life. So I did not get a chance. I missed the deadline to get to you just a small examination of what we wanted you to continue to look at. And we have been looking at this word. Who can tell me where the word at that we were looking at?
You mean innovator or pioneer?
Well, we was looking, we was looking at a particular passage of scripture. I'm sorry, I did not say that clearly.
2 Kings 19 through 22.
Yes, and who was
about
that?
About Elijah.
Yes, and tell me your name.
Hello?
Yes, that's correct. And who's speaking? I'm sorry.
I said Elijah.
No, I heard you. I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Minister Pat.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Okay. No, no problem. Thank you, Minister Pat. All right, so we've been excavating and looking at 2 Kings, the second chapter, you are correct, 19 through 22. And we talked about this trailblazing anointing. We've been examining just what does it mean to be a trailblazer? How do we begin to identify ourselves as a pioneer, as an innovator? How do we open ourselves up to this trailblazing anointing so that we can discover something new and make it acceptable or popular for the season and the time that we are in? And we talked about how this Elijah trailblazing anointing rests upon you. And one of the things that we wanted to look at to add to the conversation was one of the very first things that Elijah addressed out of his miracles was water. And even when we go back into Genesis, one of the very first things that God created, he created water. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that the earth was formed and void, and the Spirit of God covered everything. And then God began to create the firmament. He began to create the water. And understanding that water flows, or water is the very important of the flow of the Spirit. One of the very first things that Elijah identified was the contamination, or according to the word, the unproductivity in the flow. And so Elijah then began to address the flow, the unproductivity, the contamination that was operating within the flow of this system, within the flow of this town, within the flow of this nation. And so I'm excited that God has given you a prophetic flow. He has given this class the ability to tap into a stream, a flow, and begin to change the trajectory of what that flow looks like. One of the words that we've been talking about in another teaching, we talked about transformational leadership. One of the prophetic declarations over transformational leadership is that they have this Elijah anointing, where you can shift seasons. You can turn a season of drought, you can turn a season of famine to a season of rain, a season of drought to a season of an outpour. And so I want us to begin to innovate what a new flow looks like. What is the new stream that God is trying to bring forth in this season? What is the new stream that's in you? What is the new stream that God is calling you to flow in? And so for Elijah, he recognized that it was the unproductivity of a nation that needed the water to survive. And so I want you to hear this in the realm of the spirit. You are a class for the survivors. You are a class for individuals that God has strategically, he has anointed you for the survivors, those who need newness to raise up in order to live. It wasn't just about water alone. It was about the productivity of this nation. It was about the health of this nation. It was about the infertility of this nation. It was about the life of this nation. And what Elijah did was he began to decree and declare the word of the Lord. He began to operate out of this genesis, this genius, this beginning, this trailblazer, this pioneer, this innovative anointing. And he addressed the very thing that gives life. We know that our bodies is made up of 80% water. We know that there is a life in the water. There is life in the flow of the spirit. There is life in the blood of Jesus. We know that even we see Jesus declared that he is the living water.
How many?
He is the well. He is the well that you would never, you once you drink up, you would never have to run dry. And so what Elijah did was he operated out of this genesis, this innovator, this pioneer, this beginning anointing, and he created life in that nation. And I just want you to be excited about the life that's flowing up out of you. I want you to look at just like these individuals who recognize that it is good, we are in a good place, but Lord, he said, there is a problem. We are in a pleasant surrounding, as you can see, but the water is bad. And we are in a tough situation right now. The systems, the flow may be bad, but yet we are still in a good place. There is a pleasant surrounding around you. And the question is to you, class of 2020, can you see it? And you just need to answer that in your spirit. You need to answer that in your prayer. And so today we are bringing you the bowl. What is God saying? What is God creating? What is the innovative flow that lives on the inside of you that now is the time to spring forth and come forth in this season? Amen. So we encourage you to continue to look at 2 Kings 2:19-22. We encourage you to continue to meditate on what it means to be a trailblazer. We prophetically push you to identify innovation and creativity in this season. And we want to hear from the Spirit of God that lives in you today. The question is, can you create a new reclamation, first reclamation system for that town? Would you allow the innovative and creative spirit of God to remove any fear, remove any doubt, and incorporating something familiar by bringing something new in this season? Amen. God bless you and we love you.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'd like to ask one question that the prophet had left with you last week. And that was to name three things. Did anybody come up with those three things that you want to share and get credit for today?
I was expecting.
Yep.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you, Overseer, for not giving them a break. Yes, Overseer.
Okay, I would like to do mine and get it over with Minister Pat.
Okay.
Day one was the scripture, 2 Kings 2:19-22. We were speaking on Elijah, and he was a pioneer and an innovator, and trailblazer. He prepared a trail for what's to come. And then five things he did. Is that enough?
Yeah, that's three. That's great. Anybody else?
Want to share
their life work. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Pat. Anybody else?
This is Sister LaDonna.
Yes, ma'am.
I needed to read the entire second chapter of Kings in order to get a full context of the story and put things in perspective. Mm-hmm. I understand that we were asked to name three things, but I got something else out of it after reading a few commentaries or whatever. So for 2 Kings 13, it reads, Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided the right and the left, and he crossed over. So reading these scriptures, this is where I find myself, and I heard Prophet Mike mention the start of everything. So the commentary said, since the mantle was the special mark of a prophet, it was demonstrated of the truth that Elijah truly had inherited the ministry of Elijah. Think of what it was like for Elisha to pick up the mantle. The mantle did not fall from heaven and rest on his shoulders. He had to pick it up and put it on. He had to decide, do I really want to put this mantle on? And so he did, and that's when I believe this power was transferred to him. And so, again, this is where I find myself, because I'm asking to step into the ministry, and I'm like saying, me, Lord? Not me, Lord. What, me? You mean me, Lord? And so reading this encourages me to step forward and step into the leadership and take this ministry. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful insight. Excellent. Anybody else? Now give her a card.
You went over. This is Elder
Yes.
Elder Carter.
Yes, sir.
So the things I had got was from point number five. The three things was that Elijah changed the trajectory of the town's future, the way that they moved, the way that they did business, helping them to become productive. So the way that they did business, he changed the trajectory of it. He pioneered a solution by setting a trail for others to follow and creating the will of God in that town, where he was, because of the situation with the water or the flow of things, talking about the water in that town, Elijah came and said, look, we're going to move differently. We're going to flow differently. We're not going to continue to go with the flow that had already been present. We are here. I'm here to show y'all that there is a better way to move or flow. This is what the Lord says. I have purified this water. I will no longer cause death or infertility. And the water has remained pure ever since, just as Elijah has said. So, again, we're looking at, as pioneers, we're here to bring forth life. And again, we got the infertility, where now we, again, talking about being productive again. So prophetically, I say that in 9 months, we're going to bring forth something new as far as new birth, because where we have been barren, and even where the town had been barren, we're bringing forth life, because there had been death and infertility. Now we're bringing forth life. And I prophesy that in the next 9 months, what we're going to be bringing forth is something new that nobody has ever seen, because we hold within us the ability to bring forth new life. You know, so I speak that now, that we will bring forth new life, and we will change the flow of things, in question marks. Because when God was doing, he would say over and over again, I'm about to do something new. I'm about to do a new thing. He would never specify what the thing was, but as a class, we have been called to bring forth new things that people have never seen before, because it's new. You ain't never seen it before. But we have to do something new based on what we're faced with right now. What we're faced with right now, as far as globally, the world has never seen before, but God has seen it before, and he's given us this opportunity to get in his presence so that he can download to us something that will change, again, the trajectory of things, and bring about a new future for the world to see. That's all I have.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. That's what we want to hear. It's a lot in y'all. We got to bring it out to bless our souls. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Well, bless you. It is a blessing to just listen to that which is coming forth from you. It really, really establishes the foundational truth of this class. And so now we will have Elder Deborah.
Overseer, one second, Ken.
Yeah.
Hey, Overseer.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Can I just for a moment? I think I'm having a brain. Our sister who just went before Elder Carter said something so very powerful. Come on, help me with the name. You did something. All right, I just need to pray for a moment. I'm sorry.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah. So, Father, I thank
LaDonna.
You. LaDonna. Thank you, LaDonna, and my friend. Okay, yes.
Oh.
Father, I thank
okay.
you. Yes, you said it right, LaDonna. Father, I pray what you downloaded and Minister LaDonna over all of us, that we will pick it up, Father. So I pray right now that whatever hindrances, whatever fears, concerns, or doubts that has hindering us from picking up what has fell from heaven for us, those stumbling blocks will be removed right now in the name of Jesus. And so I decree and declare your word that you've been giving me constantly. You said to Zubarel, what is this mountain that stand before you? It would be made level plain. And so, Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you are removing whatever is hindering us from picking up in the name of Jesus. And so I pray a new momentum. I pray a new manifestation. I pray a new maturation. I pray for miracles to fall upon us so that we can have the ability to pick up the mantle that you have laid down before us that is directly from heaven. And so I thank you today for those who are on this phone. I thank you now that the decision will be made easy, the crooked pace will be made straight, the rough pace will be made smooth, and in this hour they will be able to pick up what it is that you have purpose ordained for them before the foundations of the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you. And thank you, Minister.
Amen.
God. Thank you, everyone,
amen.
For sharing. Amen.
Who was that praying? Oh, that was him. Okay. All right. Amen. All right. Elder Deborah?
Yes, good evening. This is Elder Deborah. Today's element or characteristic is companionship. The scripture is Genesis 2:18 and Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. The candidate is Sister Trevor Trevia or Trevor, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Calhoun. And the accountability partner is Pastor Tressa. So, Pastor Tressa, it's on you to introduce your candidate. You have the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I praise God and I thank him for the opportunity to introduce my candidate, who is a candidate for the Office of the Evangelist. Her name is Treva Calhoun. And over the course of our experiences together, I had the opportunity to talk to her. I met her in March at the prayer breakfast, and I'm delighted to have been able to spend the time that we spent together. Evangelist Treva is a wife and a mother, and she's also an entrepreneur. And what I was impressed with her was her ability to listen to the Holy Spirit and move when the Spirit moves. So in times of her life when she knew and understood and saw from what God was telling her, that it was time to make a change. She made those changes, which included career moves. The second thing that I wanted to say about her and impress me was that I can say that she is a woman of courage and that she has a great deal of confidence. And for me, confidence, spiritual confidence, in her total reliance on the Word of God. So in the situations that have occurred, even since we've met, the word comes to her immediately, and she relies on that word to get her from one place to the next, and she grows spiritually and goes from glory to glory while relying on the Word of God, and that's where she has her confidence. Tonight, she is coming to you speaking on the element of companionship, and I give you Treva Calhoun.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Good evening.
Okay. Good evening. I was making sure everybody could hear me. Thank you so much, Pastor Tressa, for that wonderful introduction. And my topic is companionship, and my scripture is Genesis, and it reads, "And the word of God said, it is not good that man should be alone. It will make him a helper comparable for him." My second scripture is Ecclesiastes 9:10. Ecclesiastes reads, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Amen. I looked up the word companionship, and it means a feeling, a fellowship, a friendship. And in the scripture, Genesis, the word comparable poked out. So I looked at that word, and it says similar or equivalent of quality. Now, moving back a little bit, when I first saw the scripture, Ecclesiastes 9:10, it didn't register with me, you know, how it worked with companionship. So I called on my accountability partner for this, and she walked it, you know, she helped me and walked me through it and, you know, got the answer out of it. And in doing that, you know, it made me think of the scripture, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they agree? And because we both have Christ in common and have built for him, she was able to help me get my answer. And also, you know, just showing true partnership and companionship through the process that I'm currently experiencing to become an ordained evangelist. And so with that being said, with my hands, God has blessed me to be a wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, an auntie, a friend. Also called ministry, as well as being an entrepreneur. I'm a licensed daycare provider. And these are all of my jobs that I will perform, you know, while on earth before reaching the grave. Amen. And, you know, God has done some wonderful things with his hands just as well. And so when we read the Bible and we read in the book of Genesis how he created the heaven and the earth, and then he created man, he created woman. God, the creator, completed his masterpiece by creating man and woman. And God breathed life in special handiwork. Amen. And so when I was reading how after he made man, he needed something else, which was a helpmate, which was a woman, and so that's me. And so I got excited, amen, because when you think about what a woman is capable of doing, we carry, God has given us a different ability. We carry around life. Men can't get pregnant. So God has entrusted us to do something special. So with the work that God has given us to do, we must enjoy what God has given us in our life and to seek wisdom. Wisdom provides greater assets and power. And although we may face death, we can be confident in knowing that those who follow God will live forever with him and that God is our ultimate companion. Amen. And so moving forward, I have learned that, you know, whatever our hands, whatever we do with our hands, you know, we should do to the glory of God. And it reads, in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly. And I'm reading from the Application Bible when I read that because it breaks it down. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord. And so whatever we do to God, whatever we do, God should get the glory out of it.
Amen.
Oh, no, I'm not done yet. One second. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No problem.
And now, breaking down my scripture, Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And like I was telling you about the excitement that I got because he made me, and you know how we have the ability to, you know, carry life, and we, you know, women are nurturers by nature, and we have abilities that men eventually get, or men are eventually taught. But like when we become parents, our instincts just kick in. You know, and so we truly thank God for that. And then that just let us know that we are in sync with God because our spirit get involved with God. And so with that being said, we are relationship with God. He is all-knowing and he is all-powerful. And he had the ability in the beginning to remove the sense of choice, but he didn't because he didn't want our love to be programmed or he didn't want our love to be forced. It says in Mark 8:34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. And that's, you know, just tell us to die to our flesh and obey him and do what is right under him. Amen. And, you know, I just truly love God. God is awesome. He's one of the greatest companions that you can ever have. And I am married, and I do thank God for my husband. And we get along very well. And, you know, the Bible also say, how can two walk together unless they agree? And just like I was saying about my accountability partner, we have, you know, when I first met her, the two things we have in common, I'm African-American, she's African-American, she loves God, I love God, amen. So, it was an easy connection there. And I thank God for that relationship. And then thanking God for the relationship that I have with my husband. You know, God don't want forced love. He wants us to come to him wholeheartedly and willingly. You know, when my husband asked to marry me, I could have said no. But the thing is, we were in agreement. We had some things in common. We loved each other, and we honestly liked each other. And then some people can love you, but they don't have to like you. And then me and my husband are also chatterboxes. And then being married and being comparable, like, you know, having similarities and equivalence to each other, my husband can be firecracker mad, but if I touch his arm or his shoulder a certain way, you know, it'll calm him down. Where if somebody else tried to do it, it probably wouldn't work so much. And I know that I'm anointed, you know, to be his wife. I'm anointed to be a mother. I'm anointed to be a licensed home daycare provider. And, you know, you have to be anointed to be a friend just as well. And I have a best friend. She's a wonderful woman of God, and it's amazing how she can give me a certain look. And, you know, I'll know what she's thinking or what she means and vice versa. And it'd be funny how whenever we may be, like, in a church setting and if it's a prophet in the building, it'll pick the prophet or the man or woman of God to pick up on our spirits. And that right there shows true compatibility and companionship as well. And in order to have companionship, you have to have a relationship with God because companionship don't just necessarily mean a man or a woman. You have multiple relationships, like, you know, on your job, you know, dealing with your kids. And like I said, I'm a sister, I'm a friend, I'm an auntie, I'm a cousin. You know, so you have to have the God in you, you know, in order to deal with any relationship that you are in. Amen? And God is my ultimate companion. He just really is. He's done some wonderful things in my life. And I have a testimony that I want to share. And it kind of... Pastor Tressa, you know, touched on it a little bit. I was experiencing a few things in grief. I had a client that hadn't paid me my money, and I was upset about it. I didn't act completely ghetto, but I turned into an FBI agent. I knew where she worked at, so I went to drive by her job to see if she was there. I also called her job to see if she was there. But then my husband brought to my attention that I'm taking my focus off of God and my job. And that's what the lady wanted me to do because I'm no longer focusing on my money. I'm trying to see if this lady is at her job and so forth and so on. But as the scripture reads, God said he supplies all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Amen. And so then when I got on my knees and I prayed to God, I said, God, you said in your word that you were told nothing good for me. And I really do believe that. And so some days that went past, I had a bill that was due that came out of my account that made my account $5 negative. And out the clear blue, the lady billed me my money. And so in my prayers, you know, I was busting, but, you know, I was talking to my father. So, you know, he wasn't upset about my busting. So as I'm talking to God, I'm like, God, I have so much money in the air. And I'm like, I'm ready for my money to be in my hands so I can pay my bills and different things like that. All the while, God already had things worked out. And the thing is that God is my greatest companion. He shows up for me every time. And so no matter what relationship you may possibly be in, God should always be the running forces of all of your relationships. Amen. And in closing, I just want to add right here, God didn't create us as robots. We should praise him for giving us the ability to serve him and love him purposefully. And we should always thank God for the freedom and for his creativity. And so God don't want us in a forced love relationship. He wants us to be in relationships that have us thriving and becoming better individuals. And if people that we are in contact with can't honor our relationship with God or respect our relationship with God, then those are the cords that need to be broken. And that's all I have.
Amen. Amen. Thorough, thorough. Elder Delma?
Amen. Great, great job. Very interesting perspective on both of those. Kind of looked at it a different way, and that was very interesting. I think the whole idea about the companionship, we saw it in the natural and we saw it in the spiritual, you and your accountability partner, and then you shared what that looks like in a home life, in a work life. And then the whole idea of working, whatever God has put in you, whatever that work is to your hand. And I just thought that you explained it really well. You were very transparent even with your testimony, which encourages others that, you know, if we take our hands off and let God fight our battles, he's always faithful. And even when it didn't look like it was going to happen, you know, he came through. So great job, both of you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, praise the Lord. Anybody, questions, comments, insight, inspiration? Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Yes,
great.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage all of you to interject the personal side of your study. Put yourself in the Word of God and see how you measure up to it. And then the Bible says, confess your faults. And she shared, you know, she didn't respond, but she allowed, as her accountability partner said, the Word of God to shape and to mold her. And so we see the value and the benefit of these elements being a part of our life, and they translate into every area of our life. So not just with your church folks, but with your husband, with your friends, with your coworkers. It doesn't matter. And that's what we want the Word to be, so a part of us that it is not separated or isolated under a certain environment. All right, so we are coming to the close a little bit over. We want to be good stewards of your time, but we do have Apostle KP on the line to bring you a word of encouragement. And after the Apostle KP comes, we will have our closing by Elder Carter. Amen, Apostle?
Amen, amen. I have enjoyed everything that I have been able to hear on tonight. It's such a blessing to hear the testimonies and those of you who are studying and getting the revelation of God. I'm not going to belong the time. I just wanted to share with you in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." And so as you're going through this process with being ordained, being elevated, amen, you're making your calling and your election sure. How are you doing it? You're doing it by studying to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed, so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. And so my prayer for you today is that you would just hold on to your profession of faith. My prayer for you today, and hearing all of the things that have been said on today and on tonight, I just thank and praise God for what he's doing. I need us to understand it and know, as I've heard on tonight, we understand that we've been elected by God. We've been handpicked for such a time as this, and that this level of your calling and your election, God wants you to know and remind you that before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knew you, and he consecrated you, even in your mother's womb, for a time such as this, for this day, for this very hour, for this very time of a pandemic. God is raising you up as trailblazers, as our prophet so eloquently stated on today. And so no matter what you're going through, no matter what your mindset may go, no matter the frustration that you may have when you're doing the assignments and feeling like, you know, you're overwhelmed, trying to meet that deadline and trying to be a person of integrity, you know, to meet it at the time that it was given. We just even now just speak that we will cast down any imagination that would try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought, even when that thought is your own thought. If that thought contradicts what God is calling you to do, my God, the glory, hallelujah, we come against it and we pull it down. When you're getting frustrated, the sister gave her testimony about how the finances was getting a little out of whack and how she had to go before God. That was something that was trying to come against what God had spoke in her life. But when she called on God, my God to glory, he came in and he answered speedily. And so as we come against those thoughts and we bring everything into obedience to Christ, our way, our home, everything that's around us, we command it now to come into the obedience of Christ. We pray now, God, in Jesus' name, that you will begin to expose every trick of the enemy, God. We come against every negative word. We come against chattering voices, oh, Lord God. We come against every thought of failure, oh, Lord God, feeling like I have not been called, or going against what family members and those around us who are speaking negatively, God. We come against those thoughts and those words, even now we cast them to the ground where they will never grow and they will never take root, oh Lord God. And we release, oh God, those rivers of living waters, oh Lord God. We release that new flow, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We release the anointing of the victor, oh Lord God, because they are victorious in you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We release the breaker's anointing, oh God, to begin to break through, oh Lord God, every obstacle and every plan of the enemy, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against every barrier, be it financial, emotional, oh Lord God. We release the Jehovah Shalom in their hearts and in their minds and their homes, God, even on their jobs, those who are working from home, God. We release the Jehovah Shalom, oh Lord God, and we just thank you even now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. As they make their calling and their election sure, oh Lord God, we stand steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know, my God, our labor is not in vain. In Jesus' name, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Amen. Overseer.
Thank you. Thank you, Apostle. And we're going to go to Elder Carter, and then you will be dismissed. But I do pray that just the anointing of the richness of the word of God, the prayers of God, the decrees of God, the prophecy, and those things spoken over you bring you a joy and a fullness that satisfies your soul and causes you to be encouraged to do the next day step of phase three. Elder
Amen.
Carter?
Amen. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for what you have done today and what you're doing in us, for us, and through us. We thank you for our apostle and the committee that is making these decisions and making the way for the ordination ceremony. Father, we just thank you that you would give them all that they need to make the decisions that they need at such a time as this. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be trailblazers and that we are being gifted and anointed even now through the process. Even as the prophet has said last week, Father, we are enjoying the process because we know that we are gaining something through this process. So even as things are changing right now, as things are changing in the world and things are changing for us, Father, we ask that you would continue to help us through this process so that we may enjoy the process and that we will count it all joy when we are faced with the various trials, because it's the testing of our faith that produces patience. And let her have her perfect work, so that when we are mature, we will be lacking nothing. So we take the mantle, as the sister has said tonight, we take the mantle and we strike the water and we ask it to part, that we may be able to walk over to the other side, Father. So as we're crossing over, Father, give us all that we need to make it to the other side, and we will continue to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, and do be blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night.